Don't you just love the gospel reading? Seeing all those pigs go right down in there and dying? What a waste of a good pork chop, I used to say. But that story is really connected to the other lessons as well. And we really want to focus not on what happened there, although what happened was the man's life was literally changed. And then he said, I want to go with you, Jesus. And Jesus says to him, what? No, we want you to bloom where you've been planted. And that's good words for us. We need to bloom where we're planted. And as we bloom where we're planted, that's what the second lesson is all about. So think about this. What are some of the special days in your life? Days that, for good or for bad, you will always remember the date. Anybody got a date in mind that they'll always remember? What? Your anniversary. That's a good one. All right? It's an important one, right? Absolutely. Probably most of you have some dates in history that you remember. My generation, certainly September 11th, 2001. Most of us probably remember where we were on that day, right? We certainly know what happened. The generation before me, and I remember this from my parents because I came after it, December 7th, 1941. Now, we don't remember that, right, Bill and Pam? But some of you here do, right? Called a day of infamy. Changed the world, as did September 11th, and a lot more dates like that. You all have them. You all remember them. You remember the day you were born? You might remember when you graduated from high school. Hopefully you remember the day you got married and your spouse's birthday. Hopefully you remember the birth dates of your children. Are we getting a little sketchy area here now? Or our grandchildren? All important dates, right? But there is one important date in your life that we all tend to forget. It's the day that we were named an heir. The day when we received an inheritance. Now, when we hear that, sometimes we think in terms of, wow, I've been named an heir. And that happened to me a few years ago. It was really incredible. I had this wonderful person in my life that I didn't really know very well. But all of a sudden, I got notification that I had been placed in her will to be one of her heirs. What she had done is she had scratched out my father's name and put my name in because I was studying to be a pastor. Isn't that great? It was great. And what did I get from the lawyer? A nice stack of papers. It was about this thick to read through. Aunt Louise was wonderful. You know, sometimes we might think, well, I might get something out of this. I think she was fairly wealthy. I didn't know. I knew she owned some properties. And I think she had a lot of things because we were never in her home. She would come to us. So Aunt Louise finally died at 112. You know what I got? Another group of papers that said there was nothing left. Well, truthfully, I wasn't expecting anything because I knew she was getting older. But when we're named heirs in this world, there's nothing that you can depend on. But that significant day in your life that St. Paul was talking about in this letter to the Galatian Christians, you can be assured that your inheritance is there. And what's that day? It's the day you were baptized. Now the tricky question is among you, how many of you know the date you were baptized? Lauren, thank you. You're about the only one here, besides me. Pastor Dwyer, salvation is coming to us. It has come to us. But see, we just kind of lose that day, don't we? And a few weeks ago here at the altar, we had 16 young people. Is that what it was, I think? Who reaffirmed their baptism. We call it confirmation. And probably most of us don't remember the date of that either. And yet, what happens so much, so often in our lives? They're big days for a short period of time, but do we realize the eternal implications that are there? That we are called an heir. That we are called children of the Heavenly Father. Sons who have been saved by grace through the faith which the Holy Spirit bestows upon us and guides us and directs us in our life's journey. I said to the couple of the youth people, so youth people, how many of the kids have you seen here since Confirmation Day? It was a loaded question, by the way. Because it's pretty easy, right? Way to go, Anthony. Way to go, guys. You're back. That's important, all you young people. But how easy it is for us to forget. And yet here, we can depend upon God's grace and mercy in our lives as we live out that faith by God's grace. Because in baptism, which so often people don't really understand, and that's the discussion we're having here, right? In terms of people call on the phone, we want to get their child baptized, and we say, well, we will baptize your child when you come in and meet with us. We don't want it to be the first time they walk through these doors and have no relationship. It's part of the educational process in our life in order that we understand what's going on so that we as parents or grandparents, whoever brings a child to baptism, understands there's a continuation. It's not just about the pouring on of water over their head with the nice words and saying, hey, but you become an heir of God. And the church has a responsibility to guide you and direct you as godparents do, as our Sunday school teachers do, as our confirmation teachers do, as our teachers in our school. Because as heirs of the promise of God, as we become sons and daughters of Christ, we have become a part of a family that we call the church. Heirs according to the promise which God has given to us in our life. And all those benefits that baptism brings to us are made possible by what Paul calls in this letter to the Galatians as the fullness of time. And the fullness of time was the very presence of our Savior in the flesh as he came to live among us, as he came to bear the sins of all people on the cross, as he came to die and to rise again in order that we could have life and have it for eternity. Jesus was sent to redeem those who are under the law. And he said, yeah, I've come to fulfill it. And it takes that phrase, takes us right back to the reality that you and I cannot keep the law perfectly. That's what Paul struggled with when his name was Saul. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the interpreter of the law. And what did it get him but frustration? He couldn't keep it perfectly. And finally, God intervened yet again in his life and took him from the darkness into his marvelous light, but he had to make him blind before he could see. Isn't there a hymn, "I once was blind, but now I see"? That's the power of the Spirit of God to take us from the darkness of sin, death, and the grave to the brightness of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, beginning in our baptisms. And so Paul experienced what it was to be a slave to the law, and he experienced the grace of God in all its fullness. And then he became perhaps the greatest of all the missionaries. So he went to work. So let's take the last part of this and say to you, it's time to go to work. What I have seen here at Trinity in the 2 months that I've been here now is we got great workers here. We just don't have enough of them. That doesn't mean we don't have the people. It's just that we aren't engaging enough of you in the mission and ministry of this congregation so that you can make a difference not only when we come to this place, but when we're scattered as the church out into the world where you are. And that's the challenge for you today. We've got a lot of needs here in this church, in this congregation, that need to be met. You know, we could use some more ushers. Last night, I didn't know if there were going to be any ushers here. Somebody finally stepped in. We could use more people who are willing to be communion assistants. There were only two of us here last night. We could use more people who would be willing to read the lessons. We need more people to help on the altar guild. We could use more people who have handiwork. You know, I've gotten to know a couple of these guys so well that I think I owe them my whole life. But there are others. And you know what happens sometimes is everybody wants to do it and we keep asking the same people and all of a sudden what happens? They say, enough already. They walk out the door. We don't need that. We need to spread that around with people. Keep asking. Keep encouraging. And we need you to volunteer. And then we got to find places for you. I'm dealing with a young man who said, I want to do something. I got to find the right place for him. That's true. We need people to work with our youth, with our Sunday school, with our confirmation. We need people who are outreach people into our community for initiatives into this community. We need people walking the streets here and engaging people. The other night I had a really neat engagement with some of our neighbors here. I'm walking over to church and these two fairly elderly men were walking with a beautiful grandchild. It was a granddaughter. I wanted to snatch her away. They wouldn't let me. And I said, welcome, it's nice to see you here. And I said, where are you from? They, by appearance, I knew they weren't from Brooklyn. We're from Nepal. Only one spoke English. I said, Nepal, interesting country. I said, are you Christians? They said, no, we're Hindus. I said, interesting. I said, are there many Christians in Nepal? And they said, the Christian church is growing in Nepal. There's Muslims there, there's Hindus, there's just about everything. And they said, we'd like to come and see your church. Does that open a door? Yeah. But you know, you can have those engagements with people wherever you are. They don't have to be from foreign lands. They can be your neighbors down the street who look just like us. We need our community to be engaging with the community in which we live. That's our baptismal promise, isn't it? Remember when those babies are baptized, before we give them back to the parents, what do we say? Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so for us at Trinity and any church, because we are heirs of the promise and the hope of God, because we have been given that forgiveness and life and salvation as a gift, because we're called sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, we can do nothing else but share that which is so precious to us. Some of you that know me know I like to always tell a good story. Some of them are pretty corny, by the way. But do we love to tell the story of Jesus and his love? So that, you got this ready to go? So that all might know the love of Jesus. That's why we exist as the church. That all may know the love of Jesus. Go from this place. Use your gifts and talents. Share the abundance of gifts God has given to you and live out your baptismal grace. It's a gift. Amen. May the peace of God then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith unto life everlasting.